So, you know what I'm saying? I'm back. I have to say something about what the hell's been going on over the past couple of days. Motherfuckers getting banned all over the place, all across the social media sphere. And it is frightening, exhilarating, and it was a long time coming. Hey, everybody, this is Nick Way, a.k.a. Thaddeus Preston. This is the Proto Podcast, and it is just another opportunity for me to rant just a little bit. And I guess in light of the fact that I don't really have a whole lot of topics, I don't have, like, show prep in front of me. There's really only two things I would like to really just kind of get off my chest after the whole, you know, breaking down the Gary Johnson thing and kind of breaking down what's going on here behind the scenes here in the state of New Mexico. As of this rant, there is currently there's a developing investigation in the north of the state where there was apparently a jihadist camp where these practitioners of the religion of Islam had held up at some makeshift compound in the northern county of Taos, kind of a little bit from the Colorado border. The Taos Sheriff's County went there, kind of broke that up, and found guns and 11 kids starving and 3 women and, you know, 2 dudes and a lot of ammunition and stuff like that. It's still developing. It's a much more complicated story. I kind of dug down that rabbit hole this morning, just digging into all the news reports, the local stuff and all that stuff. And it seems kind of shady, but that is not actually what I wanted to discuss. So as of right now, it would appear that the social media purges have begun. Starting first with, Milo Yiannopoulos about a couple years ago, to be honest now. And now we move up to today, where just a couple of days ago, as of this recording, that Alex Jones was barred from most of the major social media platforms. He's actually still on Twitter, which is good, and he is still able to distribute his show, or all the shows of podcasts, as part of InfoWars on the InfoWars app in the Google Play Store and in the Apple App Store. That may be coming to an end. The social media companies and the tech narati, as I like to call them, are going to go after other things. They're going to try to get them off of all the social media platforms. The blue check mob will go after everything, and they will definitely start going after hosting providers, cloud providers. They're going to completely and utterly deplatform Alex Jones. And say what you will about Alex Jones, I'm not that much of a listener of Alex Jones. I think the guy's you know unhinged at times. He takes the 25% of what we know to be true and conflates it 75% more. But, there are great voices on the InfoWars network. Paul Joseph Watson is one in particular. It feels gross. It feels gross just to have that happen. And to happen in such rapid succession. And with such spontaneous coordination, to use two contradictory terms, it makes you wonder. They're going to go after him. They're going to go after him even more. And it's going to get worse. This is also subsequently followed by the fact that in smaller, more libertarian circles, there was Twitter suspensions for Scott Horton, Justin Raimondo, I think. Maybe? No, I don't think it was Justin Raimondo. I think it was just Daniel McAdams, particularly from the Ron Paul Institute of Peace and Prosperity. And I think a couple of Peter Van Buren, I guess, who's a former State Department official who wrote a pretty good book about how fucking stupid the State Department was when it came to Iraq. I can attest to that. I have to add that book to the many books I've read over the past couple of months. But he was banned, you know, for Twitter harassing and bullying and whatever the hell, or hate speech or inciting violence or something like that. It's a very nebulous set of terms for these purges. And I find them odd and strange. It's going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen. Gavin McGinnis of Proud Boy fames, of Proud Boy fame, self-appointed, self-described Western chauvinist, and all-around pretty cool guy, in my opinion. I like Gavin McGinnis. He's been suspended, and the Proud Boys account on Twitter has been suspended. Now, granted, it's Twitter, and he has a much bigger platform in the form of CRTV. I think he might still be on Facebook. It's getting kind of scary. And, you know, to just kind of arbitrarily do this. And I think this is what ultimately I was worried about with all this Russia nonsense. Particularly, I thought that something was up after the Cambridge Analytica thing broke. For those who don't remember, the Cambridge Analytica thing was basically what we call a data leak, a soft data leak, data breach. And where Cambridge Analytica was basically doing what any and all companies prior to Facebook deciding it was going to go public doing with user data. And some of that user data, which I guess the original experiment was to take Facebook users' data, which I think was someone's master's thesis or some sort of government-funded college research about, you know, building voter profiles and taking this data and using it for that. Somehow that research experiment, right, that for which, you know, was Cambridge Analytica was ultimately based off of, was funded by the Mercers, the evil Steve Bannon, and they created Cambridge Analytica, and they were basically using it as a target. I mean, they were building the same information operations apparatus that the Obama administration built during the 2012 campaign, except part of Cambridge Analytica's work when it came to the U.S. election to 2016 was helping the Trump campaign. It also got into other issues when it came to like Brexit and you know, really trying to just sell analytical data based on Facebook profiles so they could know how to target ads and stuff like that in the cyberspace. And I don't know if that ultimately migrated over to the meat space. But this is just a long way of saying that the fact that then the House of Parliament, the Congress, the EU were starting to clamor for some sort of regulations. Regulations that are large and dominant, country. We practically are. They would be the largest country in the world if Facebook was a nation. But this large company that now has this position that Facebook has is always going to be willing and able to deal with regulations. Hell, to even help draft them. And I knew then that this cacophonous yell from the tech press, who've become pretty much leftists, and from Silicon Valley, who become pretty much leftists, was going to clamor for regulation, or at the very least, about pressure due to the fact that Donald Trump won the election and that Brexit happened and that these far-right parties in Europe are taking over. See, they're blaming all this, the rise of the right globally, on Facebook and social media and Russian collusion, or at least Russian interference. Now, granted, was there Russian collusion between the Trump campaign and, you know, agents of the Kremlin? Controversially, I say yes. That also existed on the Hillary Clinton campaign. The only difference between the two is, well, there's actually a couple differences, but the main difference between the two is Hillary's a liberal and a leftist, and Hillary didn't win. And I'm pretty sure if Hillary had won And if this information had come out, that you'd have the Republicans doing the same thing that the liberals are doing now in the press and on CNBC or MSNBC and in the tech world, as people kind of start to wash their hands of what the hell happened in 2016. This is a bigger, broader, more complicated issue that I don't want to kind of delve too deeply into. One, because I don't have any of my notes in front of me. I'm just ranting. And these are just thoughts off the top of my head. But look, you know, the government is coming. And they're going to use, and they're going to, the government pressure first and foremost is going to cause these tech companies who are in complete agreement with these very nebulous accusations of interfering with democracy and hate speech and being able to suppress it and stuff like that. And this whole SJW identitarian politics of really postmodern cultural leftism. They all agree with it. And they're all mad because Trump won. And they're all mad because the right is on the ascendancy across the planet. And that these animal spirits of identity and nationalism and stuff are making a, you know, a disturbingly resurgence, a disturbing resurgence. So, yeah, they're going to collude, in a sense, to deplatform voices they feel that these platforms have amplified and that have made their lives very, very difficult. They hate new media. They hate new players. And they're just going to use the platforms that they have to silence people. And this is not going to stop anytime soon. A lot of us are going to be martyrs to this. I have no real following on Twitter, and my Facebook on the front-facing side is fairly benign when it comes to my politics. I'm still, you know, right of center. I'm still a libertarian in the classical sense, I guess. I don't know. But it ain't about me. No, let's say I blow up over the next couple of years, Barry, because of this slickly produced podcast. Haha. And any other activities that deal with me hanging in the Coke orbit or anything else to that matter. Yeah, it could happen to me. It could happen to anyone. We'd all be deplatformed and silenced. Some of us are already shadow banned. We just don't know it. And I think it's disturbing. Like the one thing that always makes me very, very iffy, particularly as I started as a tech geek, seeing groups kind of clamor for regulation, is they almost tend to not think that maybe, just maybe, the power they're invested in the state will eventually be turned around on them. These social media platforms tend to understand that because they understand the lessons of Microsoft and IBM and AT&T. And they're just going to get in and lobby to do so they don't have to deal with, you know, the government. The reason why Facebook inevitably kicked off Alex Jones is just got sick and goddamn tired of everybody fucking with him about it. And so they're just like, all right, we'll just ban the guy and we'll just come up with some charges of hate speech, man. Alex Jones has been saying dumb, stupid, crazy shit for almost... I heard of the guy 15 years ago. The guy's crazy. But suddenly, all of a sudden, like, this is important. This somehow he crossed the line. Now, the Overton window moved when it came to those who are pussies and can't, you know, deal with a little bit of, opposition to their worldview, right? That's what's changed. Alex Jones hasn't changed. The right, for the most part, hasn't changed. The tactics may have become more thug-like, you know, virtually, by virtue of the fact that, like, we actually started reading Rules for Radicals, as opposed to leftists who've been using it for forever. And so, you know, I think these tech companies are going to be useful idiots in this. They're going to start going after platforms, right? And this is what, you know, they're going to start going after, like, domain registrars. They're going to, you know, because they did it with Daily Stormer first. You know, they're going to, you know, even Gab, right? The alternative Twitter social media account, which has a social media account on Twitter, ironically, that's very meta. But, you know, a random post that had suspicious links to phishing, or at the very least it had attributes of a phishing link, was, you know, somehow, I guess Gav hosts their services on Azure, which is Microsoft's cloud computing platform, kind of like AWS, kind of like Google Cloud Compute, whatever. You know, all these platforms, I like to call them, these cloud-based platforms, they got a nasty gram from them saying, hey, man, we'll take down your whole fucking service if you don't get rid of these two links. And come to find out, the two links had nothing to do with anything hateful. They weren't phishing. Upon further investigation, they were just links. Now, granted, I think the user who actually posted it, I mean, the fact of the matter is that they had that that amount of visibility on a, let's say, alternative social network of like over 500,000 people, that Azure could somehow dig into that and like pull out these random messages suspected of being phishing messages and then threaten to bring down a service of 500,000 people because of some hate speech / phishing, whatever. I don't know. Gab's giving us a story. I don't really know what to believe. But the fact of the matter is it's like, what the? You're just hosting the bits. You're hosting the compute cycles. What does it matter? No laws are being broken. Gab actually kind of abides by a lot of the, you know, safe harbor rules that have been laid out over the past 20 years. How? In the terms of service? They're going to go after the platforms. We're going to have to do something radical. If it means using blockchain and for distributed ledgers and storage, if it means using NoSQL databases distributed, if it means using BitTorrent, I mean, this shit's getting real, man. This shit's getting real, real. And, you know, and there's another thing, too, that really gets under my goddamn skin about this. You can bitch about what Facebook and Apple and fucking Pinterest did to Alex Jones and still understand that those platforms had every right to do what they did. Property rights. I understand. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily right. So, man, it's getting real out there. You guys need to be careful. Keep your head down. And for God's sakes, man, we gotta, someone out there who's smarter than me, man, we need better platforms of this of expression. I don't know what's gonna happen, but this is getting pretty. This shit is getting pretty fucking gross. And these bands, man. I don't know. And so that brings me to my next subject. So it's this overall trend of deplatforming that we seem to be witnessing on all these social media sites. And it kind of brings up some history lessons that I've been learning. And that I'm going to try to tie in to this overall idea, and to give you maybe a little bit of hope that it's darkest before the dawn. So I just finished reading Betrayal of the American Right by Murray Rothbard. Good book. Definitely a history lesson, if not a slightly revisionist history lesson. But I was just reading in the American Conservative from Peter Van Buren, one of the guys who have been permanently deplatformed, at least from Twitter. And, you know, he's kind of going over, like, you know, the places that can no longer, it will no longer host speech, the deplatforming of certain ideas, and, his story, and, you know, why, like, hey, you know, while I agree, while philosophically he may be like, all right, whatever, you know, you can do what you want to with me, but like, it's irrelevant because we've now the government has basically outsourced censorship to private corporations, giving really status the ultimate defense against people who say free speech, and their defense being the state's defense being, well, we're not banning free speech. These platforms hide behind hate speech, terms of service and stuff like that. And so you're going to start to see a lot of ideas that people don't like in academia, in the culture. You're going to start seeing these ideas deplatformed. And the right is just as guilty of this as the left. This is right now the left in cultural censorship is just on the ascendancy using these platforms. But in the betrayal of the American right, as the old right and individualists, these are the precursors to libertarians and anarchists, as World War II was in its ascendancy and their non-interventionist speech and definite and very prescient belief that the warfare state would lead to a huge welfare state, they were essentially deplatformed by institutions of higher learning, papers, academic journals, periodicals at the time. And for the longest time, people like, William Taft and Senator Taft and Rothbard and Garrett Gannett, I forgot his name, and Nocht and H.L. Mencken and Floyd, these guys were deplatformed from a lot of publications for decades until the ascendancy of Fee and National Review to a lesser extent. He has nothing good to say about National Review, but he can talk a lot of shit about National Review. National Review did give him a platform until they, he was deemed too radical and not anti-communist enough. But take heart. All these platforms are deplatforming people. And these ideas aren't going to go away. They're going to kick us off social media. They're going to start going after domain registrars. They're going to start going after, cloud platforms that host these discussions about liberty, the warfare, welfare state, multiculturalism being good or bad, identity politics, vile racialist politics and ideas that need to be discussed. They're going to deplatform a lot of us or people who we are ideologically empathetic to. But that doesn't last forever. See, the triumph of betrayal of the American right was Murray Rothbard and his merry band toiled away and wrote in any publication, left, right, and in Murray's latter days, very racialist magazines, periodicals, and newsletters. But the ideas were still written. He still kept honing the ideology, honing the argument. And then the time arose where libertarianism in its most extreme forms, its most, dare I say, classical liberal forms, reemerged and is now back at the ascendancy. Now, it's taken on a bit of a social justice twist, if you want to characterize it that way from the Libertarian Party perspective, but the ideas still remain. And even, and the same thing with the alt-right. They espouse a much more Hegelian ethic, right? That's something Jeffrey Tucker always talks about, like the strong man, enemy, friend versus enemy dichotomy, that rules the alt-right, right? Like racial and demographic fear-mongering and stuff like that. Those ideas are, read Jeffrey Tucker. You may not like him, but read right-wing collectivism, right? He traces this history out, and to a certain extent, Rothbard does too in Betrayal of the American Right. these ideas don't go away. They always kind of resurface as one thing or the other. And it's the same thing the leftists have done when the economic system of socialism and communism had proved wanting and the bodies were piled up. They readjusted the ideology, and we now live in that world, social justice world. So this is a dark time. We're going into dark times. And there are very few voices out there that are kind of chronicling this. We listen to a lot of them on the you know, libertarian right, on the libertarian left. But we're all libertarians, and we're all talking about the same thing. And maybe, just maybe, some of us libertarians here need to take a page out of Rothbard and kind of look at the critiques, at the very least, of free market and capitalist systems. You know, maybe we need to look at their critiques, you know, more seriously. Because right now, our blanket defense of Twitter and Facebook and all these platforms, well, they're just private companies and they can do what they want and property rights and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, that's the ultimate argument. But maybe we need to start paying a little bit more attention. And maybe we should have been paying a little bit more attention to the warning signs of giant multinational, dare I say, globalist organizations and the undue power that they have. They almost wield power like states. Now, I would much rather live in a state run by Facebook and Twitter, but does that also mean that we can't still give the statist critique of private organizations when they act as surrogates for the state? Something to think about. And something to end on a positive note. These ideas ain't going to go anywhere. Technology, something that was always a great ethos of Silicon Valley before it got terrible. And that is, information finds a way and it routes around damage. And the ideas we are espousing will route around damage to the systems that we thought were going to be our platforms for free speech and expression. We will find a way. Our ideas will find a way. Peace out.